for, good God?
Huh.
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Except for testing your weapons out.
Say it again now.
War!
God. Well, you were making it poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi. Sushi.
Oh, oh.
Sushi, sushi, sushi.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
It's so musty. Well, gag me with a furball.
The Linux Think Tech Show.
You guys are so worthy, I have nothing to compare you to. My brain is standing there and criticized. Do you think I don't know what's going on around here? Do you want to make your own choices? Or do you want the state to make those choices for you?
Well, the Linux Think Tech Show.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hi, hi.
This is the Linux Link Tech Show, and it's Link, even, at the Linux Link Tech Show, doing my own introduction on my night for the first time in how many weeks now?
At least a month.
A long time. Because, you know, I keep copping out and, like, doing it from home and stuff like that, so. Dan's all mad at me. Look at him pout. Anyway, this is show 88, is that what it is?
88.
Oh my goodness.
Keep churning on, man. We're like the machines, just keeps moving.
88 show, and crap. I know some of you...
Yeah, crap.
I know some of you guys are thinking, like, big deal, they've done 88 shows. Well, I know that, you know, there's a lot of other people that have done more shows than we have. However, those people do shows like, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week.
Yeah, and they're like 20 minutes long.
Yeah, and they're like 20 minutes long. We do like an hour and a half or better once a week. So that 88 shows for us, man, that's, you know, that's 100 hours worth of actual talk time.
Solid, man.
Better, you know.
100 hours of actual talk time, 0 hours of post-production or pre-production.
99 hours of us talking and one of Dan talking about Conan. The Conan Show.
Crom, I pray to you.
Crom.
The hell with you.
Yeah.
Crom. Wait. What does he say? Crom, I've never prayed to you before, because I've had no tongue for it. No one will remember whether we lived, I don't know.
The hell with you.
Yeah.
The hell with
and
you.
If you don't listen, then the hell with you.
That's pretty good.
I used to know everything. I watched that movie like 50 times. I used to know
this
all the dialogue
bad,
by
man.
Heart.
Three geeks sitting,
I have that
sitting
one.
In a
That's
hot
a good
room
movie,
quoting
man.
Conan.
Conan is so bad that it's good. It's one of those movies that sucks, but it's good.
All right, what about like Red Sonja? Remember that movie?
That sucked.
What's That's that? No, one. What was that chick's name? She was
Bridget
hot.
Nielsen.
Bridget Nielsen.
Have you seen
oh
Bridget
my God.
Nielsen?
Now,
scary.
No,
oh my God, she's horrible.
Scary now.
She's a man.
Did she ever
she
marry Flavor Flay?
That's all. I think that's all bullshit.
I don't know.
I give an example of a movie that sucked but was good. Was like Starship Troopers. That movie sucked, but it was good.
It was good. Yeah,
I
liked
that
good
movie.
I liked the second one too. It wasn't as good.
My wife cried through that whole movie because she cannot stand blood and guts.
Blood and guts.
It's pretty gory.
They said the review said, "Oh, that's a very gory movie." I said, "Come on, reviews are never right."
Paul Verhoeven's awesome, man. Total Recall. What? That's a classic.
Yeah.
Quatu. Who is Quatu?
So what kind of shit do we talk about here in the tech show? You know, whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. Sounds good for the moment.
We're actually going to talk about Linux this week?
Are we?
I've seen hairier chests than Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, that's for Alan. In memory of Alan. Alan died this week.
Yeah.
It was tragic.
The week was on Monday.
He was on his way to the LUG meeting last night and got a little too excited when he was listening to the new Linux user show.
Yeah.
And drove right off the...
I got a response from that guy. I don't know if I told you guys.
I didn't even know you.
Got his winky cut and his power steering again. And,
I told the man, you know, just because, what was it, Kelly? Is that his wife's name, Kelly? What's that? All right, well, forget it. Go ahead and tell us about your... your email to him in a response.
A guy from the Linux User Show.
Yes.
I basically said to him, you know, yeah, cool. You're you know, welcome to podcasting in the Linux world. Blah blah blah.
This is a Canadian. The
yeah,
Canadian
they're different.
Right?
Calgary, okay. And yeah. You know, I asked him, you know, how about you put our link on your site and we'll do the same for you. He's like, okay, let me check yous out first. And then he sent me back a reply. And he's like, well,
check us out.
Yeah.
First?
Then he's like, well, my listeners are newbies. I think your guys are a little above what they're coming in. So I don't think I could post just. So.
Hey.
Whatever.
You know what? I'll post a link from my site. I don't care. From our site.
Whatever.
I don't care.
I was friendly. You know, I put out a feeler and a friendly welcome. You know, but whatever.
Well, we
life
we
goes have, on.
We are our own genre, fellas. I guess.
What can you do?
I don't know. Speaking of Linux, should I go right into the Linux thing, or should I talk about the gadget goodies that I got?
You got goodies?
Yeah, I got.
Knock yourself out.
Sharing?
Gadget I don't goodies. Have much tonight.
I'm sharing. Just you know, wear something tight, baby. The other day I got a buddy of mine that sent me an email from Texas saying that he just picked up a DVD recorder. And this is not like, you know, a DVD recordable drive that you put in your computer. I'm talking like a DVD recorder that replaces your VCR.
Yeah, right. they were going for like $300 up until recently, right?
Yeah, well, and they were going, when they originally came out with that stuff, I wanted one so bad, they were like $700-$800.
Yeah, they've come down.
And the DVDs were $15 a piece, right, for the DVD blanks. And, you know, I remember this, and I was thinking to myself at the time, like, oh, you know, holy crap, how am I ever going to get one of those? I really need to have one. And so my buddy emails me and says that he just went to Walmart and picked this thing up. It's an ILO DVD recorder. It's at Walmart for $98.
That's cheap, man.
Right? $98, man. And then I went and looked at like the DVD blanks, which I thought were still going to be at least like $1 a piece or something.
Quarter.
Right? They're like, no, it's like almost 50 cents, right?
That's pretty
30
good.
30 DVDs for $15.
I got them for about a quarter a piece. This place in Virginia I got
them
from.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I mean, this is like...
That's a good price. For Walmart, that's a decent
for
price.
Department store, right?
Yeah.
So I picked it up and I brought it home and it's really cool. You know, you put it in there, it works like a VCR, has a nice little GUI menu system on there for setting up time recordings and the whole, you know, different speeds that you can record, which I guess is a little bit different quality. And if you get more than, well, no matter how many shows you get on there, it sets up a little DVD menu for you.
Oh, that's
cool.
In the
beginning, you can pick your... You know, shows, and you can title them and all that kind of thing. That was really cool, man.
So, question. What format does it save the files in?
It's a DVD.
DVD format.
Yeah.
But what's underneath? Like, if you rip the files from the DVD, what's on there?
I wouldn't know because I didn't rip any of the files.
It's got to
be there different ones under there?
Well, there's different formats. Like, some of the newer players will play DivX and video CDs.
Oh, no. Well, this, it's got to be... I would assume what, MPEG-2,
MPEG-1. That's like the standard.
Would it have to be the standard because it's supposed to play in any, you know what I mean, the DVDs
it
makes?
Did you play it in another DVD player?
Oh, yeah, I played it in everything I had.
Because the older DVD recorders, like you were mentioning, they used to save to DVD RAM. And they used to have some funky format on there.
No, this one will play. It says it plays in any DVD player anywhere. And I played it in a couple of my different ones, and it... You know,
so what's the regular quality? What do you get, like 2 hours per DVD?
You can get 2, 4, or 6.
But 2 is like
my specific.
2
model.
Is the good one, right?
That's the good one. Yeah, that's like the default.
How much does this run you again?
$98.
That's sweet, man.
$98. It is really cool, and
it'd be like
totally
$35 in another year or so. You know,
yeah,
you
I'm totally impressed with it, man.
Now, can you dub a DVD with it?
What do you mean?
Not like a tape.
I guess you could. This records like this doesn't like do a. You can actually put.
You gotta rip it and strip it out.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
What do you mean, like copy one DVD to another DVD or something?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Well, I tell you what, this thing has every input known to man, right? It's got a cable input, like
fuzzy input.
It's got just about, man. It's got a cable input. It's got S video. It's got composite.
That's
input.
That's good.
It's got DV input. DVI,
right?
Little DVI jack. It's got another set of composites on the front side. It's pretty cool, man.
Now the DVDs that you can record to is just the one shot record. You can't use it.
No. It's plus R and plus RW.
Okay, so you can do
so
either.
You can put an RW in there, and you can erase your recording.
Have you done that?
And yeah.
You get any artifacts or anything?
None at all that I saw.
We got to check this out.
Look, I mean, I haven't like recorded over the same thing like 50 times. I did a couple.
We're coming over.
Work, so I was really impressed.
We got to check it out. What brand? What's the brand name?
ILO.
What is it, like some Korean company?
Not a clue.
That's cool, man.
But, like, if you hit, you know, Walmart's website and look up DVD recorder, it'll pop right up there.
And life
like
is good.
For $98, man, you can't beat that. Cause,
nah, that's a good deal.
You know, in the back of my mind, I'm still thinking there, you know, $500 or some kind of crap. And, hey.
The last time I looked at them, they were around $300.
$98, that's, you know, and the quality you get is real good quality, too. So that's like, you know, that's just as good a price as, I would say, you know, buying a decent quality like VCR. Except for your media will last longer.
VCR suck.
Yeah, well, you know, if you buy a good one, you know, a nice forehead.
It's a dead medium.
Like right. Media doesn't last very long, you know. Spill Coke on a DVD, you can probably watch it again after you clean it off. Spill Coke inside a VHS tape, you're done.
Now you played the recorded DVDs on other players?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You take a DVD out, you breathe too hard on it, and that's it. It skips. And then that's
from those rentals that you get from the rental places. You ever take a look at those things, man?
You pull off the plastic when you buy it. I hate that. You know, you have to pull the plastic off the top. You have to pull the plastic off the side. You have to pull it off the bottom. Then you got to pop the clips. You got to open it up. You got to press the thing in the middle to have the disc pop out.
Yep. No, but you forgot you have to unwrap it from the cellophane
right,
first.
Right, you got to do that, too. And that little tab thing that you pull around that's, like, on like gum or whatever.
That never works,
yeah. Yeah, that.
The little cigarette wrapper tab?
Yeah.
No, that never works.
Remember when he used to
I have a razor blade right next to my computer that I use specifically to open DVDs. Cause
remember when they used to come in those, the tapes and CDs and everything, used to come in those big plastic, like security devices, and if you bought them in certain places, they wouldn't take them off.
So you
get a knife out of the kitchen drawer. You're sitting there cutting.
Getting it out of there.
Yeah, you're cutting the CD
those things
case
too.
Up. You got big gouges in it. Those cheap bastards wouldn't take it out for you.
So, bitches.
I'm sorry, Pat. I think I cut you off.
No, that's okay. But we'll definitely have to check out Link's new toy.
Yeah, it's cool. It's nifty.
Is that the only gadget you got this week?
You know what? I had something else. I can't even remember what the hell it is now. So maybe that's it.
I finally got some video editing and burning going.
Ooh.
I fired up the latest version of Kino. I picked up a cheapy FireWire card, man. Got it going pretty easily. I was surprised how easy it was. And I imported some videos of, you know, my son. And I encoded it to, you know, MPEG 2 DVD format, and then I used the DVD Styler. I saw that article that Marcel Gagne had written about a month or so ago, and it was DVD Styler. It's another one of these DVD creation applications, similar to QDVD Author.
Right.
I actually liked it better than QDVD Author. Buddy Varel is a good guy and everything, but I think DVD Styler is more complete. And it's more functional, and I think it's further along development-wise. And I was able to take the video that I edited. I created a basic, you know, like 5-minute video clip, and then I burned it to a rewritable DVD and fired it up in DVD player, my old Sony that's like 4 or 5 years old, and it worked.
Cool.
You know? So I'm gonna start importing some of the, you know, those all these tapes that I have. I must have like 7 or 8 different hour-long tapes of, you know, my son from the last year and a half.
Uh-huh.
So I have an excuse now to get on the computer. My wife can't say anything.
Yep. Hey, and, you know, speaking of importing tapes, here's one thing that I was thinking of since I got this DVD recorder, right? I want to be able to take my VHS tapes that I have. Like, I spend real money on these VHS tapes, right? I would like to be able to take these and archive them to DVD.
I did it with my Hot Pod card. I did that.
I could probably do that way, too.
Yeah,
but I would like to archive them just to DVD right on this DVD recorder that I bought. And, like, that seems to be the thing to do. However, I completely forgot about Macrovision. And Macrovision just screws everything up. So what I'm really looking for here...
Oh, does that have the macrovision protection, whatever it is?
You yeah, try and record? All new devices have to because of yeah, the freaking
DRM. Like, I know
DRM
in the past it used
bullshit.
To make the image get, you know, go bright.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Or it changes the color so it's all red or some kind of crap like that. Depends on the version of macrovision that's on it. But here's the deal. I know what I need to get is a macrovision filter. And I know they make them. I know they make them a lot in the UK. As a matter of fact, every time I see a site from there in the UK, so hey, you UK guys, send me one. Or you can get them over here in the States, and they're called image stabilizers or something like that, right? It's or color stabilizers, one of them. So what I want to know is if anybody has one of these, like how much they cost, and whether or not they work. Fairly decent or not. I punted around on the internet for them. I saw a whole bunch of different models. Of course, they all say, you know, they're the greatest thing since, you know, God invented water. So it'd be really nice if someone out there that listens to the show would let me know if they have one and what they
use.
Just
copy, stream them to your, or play them into your television. Not television, your Linux box. And then play it out again. DVD player.
How am I supposed to play it out again to the DVD player?
Video out. S-video out. S-video or... You should have an S-video connection.
Not on my computer, I don't.
Well, you need to get a video card with an S-video connection.
I did the same thing with my Hot Pod card.
Do I have one? No.
I archived a bunch of VHS tapes that I had, of mostly of like music videos and stuff, like stuff that you can't get anymore, so like Iron Maiden Behind the Iron Curtain. You know, it's one of these tapes that you can't get anymore. So, I use my Hot Pod card, and you know, I piped in the VHS in there. I don't know what kind of if it had any protection on it. A few other videos too, you know, some like home movies and stuff from years ago, but it's mostly like music videos. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they had any Macrovision on there.
See now, Nintendo. Nintendo on the IRC says go ahead and get an older VCR and do it that way. That won't work because I want to copy my VHS tapes that I have to my new DVD recorder, and the VHS tapes already have Macrovision, which is encoded in the off frames of the actual video itself. So in order to filter this stuff out, what you really need is you need to have something that regenerates those frames and pushes them off to the right size. So it's got to be some kind of inline thing. Or there has to be some kind
capture
of hack
card,
out
man.
There. Yeah, even with capture cards have it too. There has to be a hack out there someplace where you can disable the macrovision detection. So that's what I'm looking for.
You're breaking the law.
No, I'm not, because I own the damn videos, and it's my prerogative whether I want to make a backup
copy. You don't own it. They let you use it.
I own the media, and I can make a backup copy of the media.
They let you use it because you're nice to
you. I don't own the movie, but I own the media, and if I want to make a backup of it, I can. So, if the RIAA is really that interested, or the MPAA, excuse me, is really that interested, and they want to come to my house so that they can arrest me for making a backup copy of Hackers or something like that.
That movie sucked.
They got it. They got a pride from my cold, dead fingers, man. I'm telling you.
Give me the phone. We'll Skype them.
Skype them in,
Skype
man.
The RIAA. Hey,
I will not give up my copy of Hackers. Thank you.
That movie sucked.
Or like Sneakers. Sneakers
was
a good.
Good
movie, too, right?
Movie.
I have some good videos.
Most Hacker movies blow, man.
Sister Act. That's a good movie. Got that.
Antitrust, that sucked. That was cheesy. Tim Robbins doing his Bill Gates impersonation.
But anyway.
Anyway.
That movie was played over and over and over again on one of the many HBO channels about 2 years
ago. The six that you don't want?
Which
six
movie?
6 month period. Antitrust. Every time
yeah.
I go down to my mother-in-law's, like
I have
once
HBO,
every other
so
month,
I didn't see it.
It was on.
It's always on.
That and... It was The Net was another one that was played.
Another
cheesy one.
That's been
over,
way overplayed.
Over again.
The killer thing about The Net is, like, that wasn't very good to begin with. At least, like, Hackers was entertaining. You know, you got Angelina Jolie and with her boobs hanging out and stuff. That was entertaining, right? Right?
I saw it.
Revolution OS. You have that, right?
Yes, I do.
You do.
That was good, and except for, well, except for where it was boring, I guess. I didn't know.
You missed the lug meeting last night.
So
yes,
did I.
Did.
And you did.
I'm really bad, man.
Got this nasty freaking allergy thing that's been beating the living hell out of me.
It was a good meeting, actually.
What did you do? We
talked about the access control lists and went back and forth about why, you know, why would you bother using it? What about security? How much resources does it take up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something you'd implement in every situation. And so in some unique situations where you need sharing. It was a good meeting. Support your local lug. Not like Link, but it's been only the one meeting in 12 years, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I remember when we had those meetings in Dan's kitchen.
We did?
We
had one meeting there.
Way back when, in the very beginning.
You weren't there when we had meetings in Link's basement.
Where?
We for a whole year, we met in my basement.
That was before my time.
Spiders and all. Everybody just, you know,
squished
their own spider.
Was there a chalkboard down there, or was it a flip? Like, there was an easel. We were drawing.
It was a flip easel, yeah, with a chalkboard on one side.
Yeah,
and
that's
like the,
it. I remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, man.
We said, I remember doing TCPIP stuff down there.
That's
that
right. It was good, man.
So we're the original lug members.
It was cool down there, you know.
Jeff, Randy, those guys?
No.
Me and Dan.
Stuart.
There was... Stuart never really came to the meeting.
He never came any. I think he came to, like... Yeah, the one meeting that he was at was at his house.
Yeah. who was that? There was you, me, Randy Kramer.
Tom, what's his face?
Stoddard?
No.
Tom,
Was it Walsh or Welsher?
Yeah, Tom. Was it Tom Walsh? Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
When we gave the directions to my house to meet that one time, and I put right instead of left.
We got lost.
He ended up somewhere else. He was pissed.
He was mad, yeah.
there was those two people, I think, from the LVCG. That were supposed to come to the install fest, but...
The asshole?
That one guy that kept coming whose son is like a developer for Turbo Linux, remember that? I wonder whatever happened to him.
Was that the old guy with the beard?
I don't think he had a beard.
No.
You know who was a trip? That guy who was like Mr. Embedded Linux? I forget his name. Was it Tom something?
That's who we're talking about.
Who?
He He stopped coming after a while, right?
After him and Link had a
fallout. You had a fallout, right?
Yep.
Everybody has
a fallout with Link.
Involves Link.
It's always Link.
Everybody. Randy Kramer. Not Randy Kramer. Randy Plesser. Fallout with Link.
I avoided that guy.
Tom Wells.
He was trouble. I saw him at the computer show bad-mouthing Linux in general. I knew it was bad.
Who, Randy Kramer?
Randy Plesser.
This thing where, like, you know, I don't get in arguments unless I know I'm going to win. And when somebody, you know, when somebody starts arguing with me and then argue back, you know what's going to happen.
That guy's a dick.
I'm just going to argue back with him until I piss him off and they go away.
He was a friggin' asshole, that guy.
But anyway, how about some Linux stuff? Like, here's a for instance. Because, you know, everybody bitches.
Listen
to the tech show.
Hold on.
And they don't talk about anything.
Hold on. Wait, one second. I do have a kind of technical question I want to ask the audience.
Okay.
And also, you know, you guys make fun of it, but I get requests on my blog and email directly to me about how many people really love the All Conan show. And they want
really
more Conan. They want
you
got to
do the Conan podcast.
Do it, man.
But you know what? I just want to give a little.
Tell them
things.
To subscribe to Dan's Rants and they'll get all that quality. They'll get
Conan
all that quality,
content.
Quality programming that we enjoy on a daily basis, right?
I just wanted to let everybody know that production has started on the animated movie going straight to DVD, Conan Red Nails. And it will be released supposedly in 2006. But in conjunction with that, now this is a question I posted to the lug list. I have a GameCube, which I really love. There was a Conan video game that was
released.
She'd
see me hugs it while he walks around.
It was released only in Europe. I mean, I think the PlayStation version might have been released in the United States, but it came out for GameCube, Xbox, PlayStation 2, and PC in Europe. So it has not been released yet in the States for Xbox, GameCube, or I don't even think the PC. It was supposed to be released last year, Conan the Dark Axe. So I don't think it's going to be released in the States anytime soon. Now, I started looking around, and I can get it on eBay for like $5 for the European version, but the European version of video games only play on you know, the European consoles and have a PAL format. Now there's a device that you can get, Freeloader is what it's called, which supposedly allows you to play, you know, there's a Freeloader for PlayStation, Freeloader for Xbox, and for GameCubes, which allows you to play, you know, if you're in the United States, NTSC, play PAL and Japanese games on, you know, U.S. console, allows you to play NTSC and Japanese on the PAL European consoles, allows you to play the NTSC and PAL European over on the Japanese. Now, I looked at the reviews for this product, and a lot of people are saying, hey, it works really good, works really well, but a lot of this is the people over in Europe playing NTSC and Japanese games. I've not seen a lot of reviews as to whether, you know, it's the reverse in the United States, how well it plays the European games, how well it plays the Japanese. So I was wondering if anybody has had experience with Freeloader and playing Japanese or European games. So figure, for you know, waiting, this thing might never come out in the United States, but for $30, or I could get it off an eBay, a used copy, and then get Freeloader for $20. Something I thought about doing. Now, $30 isn't a lot of money, but you know, times are a little tight.
It is for me.
I don't want to invest, you know, in something that isn't going to work, because I'd be bummed out. You know, and that's $30 I can put towards a new system over here, or getting a DVD recorder like you.
Yeah,
that's a good toy.
So, if anybody has any experience, or you know, please email the text or email me personally. I would like to know if you've used Freeloader.
Email Dan your naked ass pictures. He likes them hairy.
That's scary, man.
Yes, and Nintendo, I did. That's where I was. Licksang.com, looking at stuff like that. And again, like I said, a lot of the Licksang, Licksang.com. A lot of the stuff I read was mostly European reviews.
So we had some new releases. Some Linux distros this week. We got the.
It's not European. It's I'm a farting.
We got Debian finally came out 3.1.
Last week.
That was last
week. A week ago. And then Fedora 4 came out.
Core 4.
Yeah.
The Linux user show. The guy was bitching about how Core 3 wasn't working with his audio. Now it's Core 4.
I never had any problems with Fedora Core 3.
No?
I never had any problems with it either, and you know why? Because I never used it.
Crap!
Everybody
bashes on Fedora and Red Hat, but it really has improved since the old days of, you know, 5 and 6. I
Take
remember
your word
those
for
days.
It, because it can never get as good as Slackware. But that's another story. No, what I...
It works for my MythBox.
You know what I you know what I did today was... And I've been looking at this, like, often. I think I mentioned it last week about looking for small Linux to get running on some machines at work. And I finally settled on Damn Small Linux.
It's nice, right?
And I grabbed their Damn Small Linux 1.1, I think is the latest one. And I stuck it on these machines at work. And you know what? It's surprisingly a nifty little thing. It's quite speedy, very, very small. There's all kinds of stuff on it. The only one problem I had was that I did not have a... the one program I wanted to use on, which was Y60, I didn't bother like trying to hunt around and stick a compiler in a library some crap I needed on it to get it compiled. It wasn't in the app repository. So basically what I did was I had a server laying around, and I just kind of, you know, I chilled into the server from there and used it from there. So piss on it. But it was really cool. I customized the desktop the way I wanted it for the non-technical people at work. Comes right up, real fast, does what they need it to do.
It's a nice version of Fluxbox.
It's pretty neat.
I like the customized
thing. Fluxbox.
Is it Fluxbox? No, it's WindowMaker.
It's Fluxbox.
No, it's Fluxbox.
Fluxbox, right?
Fluxbox. Yeah. F-U-C-K-S.
Fluxbox?
Fluxbox. It's got a little fuzzy slit in the center.
What's that in your mind, Dan?
That's the dock.
Vertical smile.
Yep, I figured it was going to be, you know, it's a toss-up between...
The venereal window...
Vanilla window manager. I figured it was a toss-up between Damn Small Linux or
Peanut.
You know, just do a Slackware install because Slackware's fast.
You don't want to run Fluxbox on Penis Linux.
No, not Fluxbox on Penis Linux, huh? So, but no, the cool thing about this Damn Small Linux install, first of all, it really is not hard to install on a hard drive. The interesting thing about it is that it takes, you know, a whole 10 minutes to do.
That's too long.
Even on like a this is like a Pentium, you know, 350, which is probably a lot more than most people who use it are using. But like a P350 with 96 megs of RAM or 128 megs of RAM, it takes like 10 minutes to do the whole damn install, and it's up and running. And you know, once it's going, pff, runs like a bat out of hell.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Damn small. That's good. That's a good distribution. Did you ever run it?
I'm really impressed with it.
Did you ever run it off a USB?
No, not yet.
I did it off a USB stick. I also did it.
You got to have something that'll boot off a USB.
Right. I also did it off of inside of Windows. You could run it from within Windows.
That's the Syslinux thing, right? Must be. Like, they have two ISOs, right?
Yeah, I'm not. There's one that
they
has
have
like
two ISOs. They have one that's a regular USB ISO, version. And the other one is a Syslinux ISO. And right. I figured the Syslinux is usually a. Last time I used a Syslinux install, it was booted from DOS or something like that. So I figured that's what that still was, and I went for the other one, which is. Happened to be what I was looking for.
Damn small is nice.
It's but when you run
and it's
it with
damn small.
Inside
it's
of
damn
Windows,
fast.
It's not damn fast anymore inside of Windows. And
damn.
You know,
small.
Fast feet is saying comments on Debian. You know what? It sort of like.
Is your interest
it's
fizzling?
It's great. It's great that it came in. I used
are
Debian.
You losing
I
the love?
Like no, I'm not losing the love at all. But the thing is. I was running testing to begin with, so it's not like I'm like, woohoo! Woody, to Sarge.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, okay.
In there. So I think the wait was a little too long for everybody that a lot of people probably moved over.
What was it, 2 years?
Running testing.
At least, right?
What's the next one up?
Unstable.
Unstable to begin with.
I got my blog, which is 400 megahertz machine with 64 meg of RAM running.
You got a blog running?
Yeah, I'm having a problem with the CSS. It's not showing up for whatever reason.
Well, dude, what's the URL, man?
They said color to white and then background color to white.
Pretty much, yeah. You want to check it out?
Come on. What's your URL?
It's P, Davila, D-A-V-I-L-A, dot home Linux dot org, my blog.
Huh?
My forward slash my blog.
Forward slash your blog.
Wait, P. Davila, D-I-V-A-L-A, right? D-A-V-I-L-A.
P-D-A-V-I-L-A dot homelinux.org / my blog.
Yeah,
comes up with nothing.
That should be it. Oh, I don't have I'm forbidden to have. Oh, wait.
Are you sure that port 80 gets through to your system?
I thought I set it up for port 80.
Yeah, but are you sure they're not blocking port 80? That's the thing. So
no,
like I just set my stuff
no,
up
no, it's
for
not
88.
My blog. It's blog.
Blog. It's that's blog. Right, blog.
Past sorry. Blog. Junebug.
That's right.
My first post on my blog.
Yep.
Okay, I'm waiting.
It's remember, this is a 400 megahertz machine with 64 mega memory.
Dude, it's a web server. It could be, you know.
The CSS isn't showing up.
Commodore 64. Well, did you look and see why?
I think it might be either the CSS isn't defined in the HT access, or
that
it's,
should have had anything
or it's the permissions on the CSS file.
No, it's your freaking link, man.
What do you mean for the home address?
It's for your link for your style sheet. You got HTTP localhost.
No, that's a problem.
Get rid of all that shit and just rump it right down to style.css.
That should be it, then.
That should fix you right up.
That's the problem.
Yeah, because if it's, you know, localhost, it's trying to tell my computer that it's
yes,
here.
Look on your machine for
it's
the CSS.
It's not on my machine, so.
I'll fix that.
You some bitches.
You'll fix it now, boy. Can we SSH in the box to fix it for you? What's the root password?
Sure, yeah. Let's get it right. Fix it right up.
Hey, I got you guys listed.
Yeah. How come Dan's listed before me?
Well, why
that's
you
what
can
I
fix
want.
That?
He's a putt, and he looks at hairy asses.
You only wish you were looking at hairy asses. Well, you're looking at me looking
well,
at hairy
asses. Well, it's Debian, and it's a 400 megahertz machine with 64 meg of memory.
Yeah.
It's running.
Now,
hey,
that
should run fine for a web server,
unstable?
Man.
Unstable? What are you running?
This was Sarge before they released it, so it was. I did it with the net install. I guess it was testing at the time.
So then you have Apache with PHP.
Yep, it's all in there.
Perl.
Dude, right.
Yeah,
you
it's all there.
You should be doing good, man.
It's all
there.
You
go. That's all that matters.
No reason for that. Is that the only thing you're running on that?
That's
box?
It.
Oh,
that's it.
You're good then.
How do you like WordPress?
So far, okay. I just got to tweak it a little bit. I got it going, man. I figured, you know, yeah, I could have asked you to put it on your site, but screw it, man. I want to do it myself and learn. You know?
Yeah, that's
the way to do it, man.
Screw that and screw me.
It's been a long time since I looked at anything CSS. I've been putting it off for a long time.
You know, if I could get some of the people I work with, right, some of the losers I work with, to just think that way for a day, you know? Oh, I could have him do it, but hey, I want to learn something. That never happens.
You got to keep learning, man.
Never happens. They don't want to learn anything. They want me to do it, and they want me to be available immediately.
Your brain will rot if you don't keep learning new things, man. That's my philosophy.
I mean, never mind. I don't have to learn how to do this because I can just call Link and have him demand his immediate attention to help me figure out how to open my email.
Can you recommend a good CSS book?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I can. There's a book out called HTML and CSS. I can't remember who it was by. And there's another one that I just got finished reviewing from... I don't even remember who it was from at this point in time. What I'll do, though, is I'll post it up.
Cool. Thanks.
And let you know. But, yeah, there are some good stuff that I just got done reading. That. Wow, that's pretty cool. And I can't remember because, like, I get, you know, I get like a book a week to review and stuff. Right now it's Bash scripting or a shell scripting book that I'm reading. It's not necessarily Bash, but.
You know, speaking of getting people to learn at work, you know, I work at a school district. We all know that. One of the funniest things I ever heard was eye-opener. Is a gifted teacher said to me about computers, look, I just want it to work. I don't want to have to learn anything.
I don't want to have to learn anything.
I just want it to work.
The gifted teacher. That's funny, dude.
I don't want to learn it.
That's the typical attitude to work right there.
Is my IRC client typing for me?
That's me.
Because he's over there. I'm SSH'd over there. Okay. Screen. Because screen rules. Dun, dun, dun. I love screen.
War! Good God.
Gwar?
Gwar.
That group was pretty silly shit.
I'll be driving down the road with the kids in the car, listening to the iPod, and then Gwar song will come on. Yeah, and then I gotta, you know, hit the fast forward button. Gotta take it off the hold so it's not, you know, you have to lock on it, you gotta unlock it so you can press the fast forward before, you know, they say something inappropriate.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. I wonder what happened to Gwar.
Hey, are we gonna, like, Skype Alan in?
I don't see Alan on the chat, so I didn't think he was.
He said he was gonna be available.
Fire up Skype, see if you see him.
You might actually have something to say, and we're denying him that opportunity.
You know who else has something to say? You have all those recordings over there.
Yes, but we have to swap audio jacks in order for me to play them.
Let me see here. I got to make sure I get the right.
Yeah,
back.
don't grab the recording jack, man.
Hey, did we ever get the lowdown on why the open store closed from your friend Andy?
The down low.
Dan?
Not officially. But I work with Andy, so...
Oh, he's back?
Yeah, he's back. For the summer.
Got to get the details. I mean, obviously, they weren't making money.
Okay, folks, you want to hear some of these? We got a whole bunch of comments that we either haven't been playing or, you know, whatever. But let me lay some of these on you while we see if we can't get a hold of the A-Man. Right? I think here's one. Yeah, it might be one. It might even start now.
Hey, everybody in Tech Show Land. This is Droops from Infonomicon Radio, and I am hooked on the Linux Link Tech Show. Now, when I say hooked, I don't just mean regular old hooked. I mean snagged in the mouth, hauled in the boat, thrown in the cooler, taken back home, filleted, put on ice, and stuffed in the deep freeze. Kind of hooked. I'm sure y'all heard the one with Richard Stallman. That was really, really awesome. is one of the best ones so far. Pat Link and the rest of the crew do an awesome job with this show. They always make it fun, they always make it interesting, and they always make it what's playing on my iPod.
Yeah, Droops. See, now that's the way to make a friend of the tech show right there. Just totally schmooze us right up, right?
Hey guys, instead of writing you a normal email message, I thought I'd try something different. Because everyone else seems to be sending you audio messages, so why not? Regarding that stream, I've been having major problems now. I don't know if it's like something on my end with my server, or if it's like something with my ISP blocking ports, but it just won't run, no matter what I do. So, like, we had it running before, but I just don't know how stable it's going to be. I have about a megabit up, so like bandwidth really isn't the problem. But regarding that AUG and MP3 thing, I think you should personally keep both, because I actually have an MP3 player, and it doesn't play AUG. And if you guys are looking for, like, cheap space to host both those formats, there's an ISP in Canada, I guess not an ISP, a web host in Canada I use. It's called Kanika at www.kanika.com. And their prices are fairly decent. I think it's like $10 a
month
for 20
Kanuka?
Gigabytes of space or something to that extent. And they give you 70 gigabytes of bandwidth. And I found that to be very fast and actually very good. I think they'd be a good choice for you guys anyways. I used to actually use them to host CanadianTechie.com before I moved to my own server. And really, for what you guys need, Kanika would do you just fine. But, I mean, send me an email back. We'll figure something out. And, I don't know, I could donate a bit of my space on my server so that we can get both those formats going. Because I think AUG's great. I use AUG on my Ubuntu all the time because it's supported right away. So I guess I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. See you later. Hey guys, instead of writing you a normal email message, I thought I'd try something different.
That's on repeat.
Because everyone else seems to be sending you audio messages.
Nobody wants to hear that twice. Oh, what else do we have? An RIAA phone call.
What was it? Oh, yeah. I was worried it is. This is.
It's long.
Whoa, turn it down. Blow my ears out.
We're going to hurt people's ears here.
Recording Industry Association of America. Hello? Hello?
Well, I recollect the days when music was free. You could tape from the radio, burn the CD. Now the RIAA wants to know about me. My address, my number, my ISP. No bitches that we still got privacy. Why the president be letting you spy on me? How many tricks are gonna be letting you try on me? Trying to be spying on my MP3s. But you protect your corporate privacy. Keep your phone number hidden from the bourgeoisie. Your customers have to play hide and seek. So here's the number to call if you disagree. 775-0101. 775-0101. 202-775.
Be sure to get the permission of your parents first.
775-0101.
Should we Skype that?
775-0101.
202-775-0101 is the number for the RIAA.
Just give him a call.
775-0101, we're 60 million strong. Why the RIAA starting litigation? The cops should be looking for the real perpetrations. The killers, the racists, the rapists. Instead of fucking with us for saves into a hard disk. Raise your middle finger if you feel me, Lowe. These fucking subpoenas are a fucking joke. Leave us alone and throw us a bone like I did with your mom the time at your home. There's no such thing as bad publicity, even if you're giving it away for free. So join us in the 21st century, where we find the new songs on MP3. Today's the new technology, Grokster, Kazaa, and P2P. So call this number now and help them see. And if you call from work, your call is free. 775-0101, 775-0101, 202-775-0101, 202 is the area code, and we're dialing 775, and then we'd be smiling, a 1-1-1 Kerry Sherman, well isn't this fun, it's stuff.com, you know they've never been fair to the bands, now the RIAA takes a stand, can't believe we're getting preached to by the man, so what's the plan, Stan, I've got a short attention span, well they gotta change up the industry, make it all available on MP3. Listen to people like you and me, and make us want to pay a monthly fee. This song is not my lyrical catastrophe. Go ahead and grab it, it's completely free. Ain't gotta pay your dime to listen to me. So share the song and fuck the industry. 775-0101. 775-0101. 202-775-0101. 101.
Recording Industry Association of America. Hello? Hello?
775-0101. 775-0101. 202-775-0101. 775-0101. 775-0101. 202-775-0101. 775-0101. 775-0101. 775-0101. We're 60 million strong.
Hello.
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 I agree. Mashups do suck.
Good. That was pretty good, though.
That was decent. Mashup.
We really need to do a video show because, like, Dan was over there dressed all in his tied up white shirt and his little and his schoolgirl skirt.
I can do.
It's got the the pleated plaid skirt.
Sit there like that. Oh.
Jeez. You showing us your nipple burn, Dan? Dan's nipples are the size of saucers.
Nipple bird, because he's got to have Vaseline. That's why. It's a long story.
You know
read
what?
His
it's
blog.
Not good to use.
Speaking of video, you guys check out the new edition of Kevin Rose's system. They did a
Myth
TV thing.
No, the one that did a Myth TV thing. No,
what
do
you think?
I didn't get a chance to see
it
yet.
Dan?
What?
Did you see that system?
What system?
It's a video show that Kevin Rose does. They do the downloads over the BitTorrent.
It's a good video show.
It's a little short, though. That was my only thing about it I didn't care for. It could have been a bit longer, I thought. It was like 10 minutes. And it was very high level. You know, I mean, it's cool exposure for Linux and Myth TV in general, but I thought they could have gone into a little more detail.
I know. I like that. I like that show, and I think that's that's a really cool thing. And for you, those of you who have not seen it yet, you want to go check them out. That's SYSTM. Is it org or com?
Yeah, org.
Dot org. SYSTM.
Yeah, Gorkon just
Dan's blog's
out.
Number one.
It's true.
On Google
you
for nipple burn.
You nipple burn Google on my blog.
What the hell is nipple burn?
It's actually I don't think the actual term is nipple burn. It's nipple
it is now, damn it! Yeah. According to Google, to Google, you are
shirt,
the expert.
Your shirt, like a cotton shirt or something, just rubs when you're running or getting an exercise. It's just repeated rubbing and the sweating and everything really grinds it down and it hurts.
That's so funny, man.
You know, speaking of funny things, this was posted on our lug list today. I'm putting it into the chat room. Did you see
yes,
that,
I did. I did look at it, yeah.
www.roflcaeks.biz/lol.html. Guy took apart his Dell laptop and found a hardware keylogger inside it.
It's a couple, I thought he said, right?
Well, he found there's one in there. It's it was
No, a couple different laptops.
I don't know if he took apart a couple. I didn't read it that closely. I just, you know, skimmed through
it. Was one of the guys that said
it was a Dell 600. M?
Yeah.
Laptop.
That's the nice one. It's the light one.
Yeah, he took it apart. He had to change, what was it, the processor in it or something?
Something like that. Yeah, he said there was a...
Dude, man. Pat, why don't I just be nice and actually show you? Because
pull it up on a web page.
Check it out.
It's right there.
You know what? I'm not entirely sure it's a serious thing, though, because, of course, the name of the web page is LOL.
That's fucked up, man.
So,
but it's a keylogger.
I'll tell you what, I didn't
from
see
the keyboard.
Yeah, from the
to
keyboard
the
to the
embedded Ethernet.
And embedded Ethernet. Now, I've had my Dell laptop apart about a million times.
Dude, he could sue, man. Not for nothing.
Say that there was nothing like that in there. However, mine's pretty old too. So.
You could bring up a freaking. You could sue these people for this, man.
We have 660s at work. So,
You should pull one over.
I'm going to
be
checking one of those out.
Yeah, man.
But that's interesting. You said it's. The chip
and
on
if
there
they
and
do
4 megabyte embedded flash.
Really? If like they that. Do have those in there, then, you know, of course, we have to find a way to hack in there and find out what kind of goodies we can pull off.
This could, if this is real, man, this could explode in their face, man.
Oh, they get in big trouble.
Lawsuits,
I don't,
major.
I don't think it is, though, you know. Unless it's somebody that actually, you know.
Stuck it in there?
Stuck one in there. Some, you know, there are some unscrupulous companies that do things like that. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not talking like the manufacturer. I'm talking about, you know, company buys laptops for their employees, and, you know, they have every right to put that kind
I
of
just,
crap
I just
there.
Got a new Dell on my desktop at work.
Yeah. Desktop or laptop?
Desktop.
Nifty.
So, you know, I will report next week what I find in the Dell's app.
Yeah, cut it open, man. Let's find out if this is for real. Yeah,
there's nothing worse than taking a heart, a laptop apart, though. I had the Gateway laptop went.
Again?
She took a shit again.
The Frankenstein something, replacement?
The Frankenstein, something happened. I don't know. I think it overheated or something. And the video just went haywire. I mean, it would display, but you know, you get, like, when your video card goes bad, you get artifacts. Well, this
right.
thing would just, like... So I had to take all the shit out again, put it into the old one, had to take the LCD top off the old one, put the new one on, and screw it all back together. So now it's the original case with a different LCD.
Dude, why don't you just put a desktop down there?
I don't know.
Just put a desktop down there and, like, screw a monitor down to your end table, and that'll be it, you know? If they want wireless, buy them a little wireless keyboard and mouse, right? One of them all-in-one units. You know, they have a little trackball roller or the eraser pointer thing on the keyboard.
Touchpad.
Wireless. Yeah. Touchpad. There you go, touchpad. Touchpads go bad. Yeah, you know, I hate them things.
Do you really? I like them.
I freaking hate them.
I can't stand the little ball thing.
I would rather have the little ball thing than the touchpad, because at least the little ball thing has some, you know, you get some tactile feel going with that, and you can stuff on it.
I hate those
the
things.
The little touchpad thing, like the thing with touchpads is if you roll your finger, it moves the pointer. And, you know, depending on how you're typing and stuff like that, you might hit your finger on it in a different place and roll it. And, like, I got scars on my thumb and crap like that.
You're exaggerating. You
know? No, seriously. Like, I got a little scar on my thumb.
You can't
so
tell?
If I'm using my thumb, it'll hit, like, where the bump over that scar. And all of a sudden, the mouse will jump over, you know, like 4 inches on the screen. And I'll be clicking on something. I don't want to.
Just because you're all thumbs, Link.
That's what it is. I'm all thumbs, and that's what it is. See? Dan's got a beat, though. Dan just carries a little tiny optical mouse with him, which is probably a good idea.
Optical mouse? What?
He's not even paying attention.
He's compiling again, damn it.
He's picking his butt or something over there.
No, I was just reading, you know, what the response was to that, the Dell keylogger in the Dell laptop.
No, something words.
And...
Hey, Dan, I noticed you're wearing a Dell t-shirt.
My support for Dell.
Hey, I'm using a Dell laptop, man.
Hey, it was free.
My Dell laptop. My Dell laptop wasn't free.
My last laptop was a Dell, and it weighed about 20 pounds.
So that was my...
It's Inspiron. Was it 7,500?
The Dell bricks.
Yep.
Even the new Dells, they're the light, but they're not that light.
My Latitude is not very light. But it works, you know, hey, for... You
yeah,
know,
I mean, yeah.
450 megahertz durable. Laptop, which is what I could afford at the time. Does what I needed to do, man.
I think I paid about $2,800 for it, and I sold it, like, last year for about $400.
Dude.
$2,800, man. That's a lot
Dude.
Of money.
Dude.
That was, like, in February of 2000.
That's a lot of bread.
Maybe one day laptops will be commodity items and seriously cheap. It's getting there. Nobody will want them. Workstation anymore. Big, fat,
so,
heavy
did you turn
box.
Skype on and see if... See
I looked and he was not there.
He was not there.
Poor
he
Alan.
He must be not feeling well.
Aww.
So there was information released this week on the update on the Apple stuff that it will be locked into a specific version of Apple's hardware with an Intel x86 chip.
And
no surprise.
And, now, I had a talk with my wife last night, because we actually got to spend some time together with the kids over at my rent's house.
Rents? What's rents?
Yeah, he was talking, all right.
Parents, we were out.
They were talking back and forth. It sounded like something like this. Dan, can you move your leg? I can't see the TV.
And then there was this. Yeah.
Dutch oven.
And then there was the Dan, get your arm off my hair.
And, you know, we were talking about this, and I was thinking, you know, if there was just a lot of flurry that was going back and forth last week, and one of the things that we brought up on the show was how they were saying, well, somebody, one of the pundits was saying, now this is Linux's opportunity to turn it around in a year and get it, you know, a kick-ass desktop system. Otherwise, Apple's just going to cream them. And we didn't really feel that way. And I honestly think that it's killing Apple. Apple's not gaining any market share other than what they had in the past.
No.
Really. I mean, all they're doing is getting over to an x86 chips
I
processor,
think they
but they're
might.
Still keeping it proprietary Apple.
Right. If they can drop their price point a little bit, they may gain some of the Windows users.
I don't think that's
going to
happen.
But they're going to have to change. They're going to have to drop their price point.
Now, see, if I think
is it going to put a hurt on Linux? Nah.
And I don't think it's going to put a hurt on Windows either.
Well, probably not.
Who buys
like
an
said,
Apple? You have the people who
Apple
are
weenies.
Apple weenies, yeah. Right.
Mac heads.
And Mac heads. And maybe, you know, somebody might dabble into it. But the problem with Apple is when the majority of people go out to get a computer, say, well, you know, we need to get a computer. We need to replace our computer.
Right.
I mean, most of them probably don't even consider Apple because, one, you very rarely see Apple commercials on TV.
Right.
Except when they put out a new system. Oh, wow. Hey, how about that? What about everybody else?
It was from Mommy.
Oh.
Sent with tender loving care to Dad.
From
so you very rarely see Apple computer commercials compared to HP or Dell, right?
Right.
When you open up the Sunday Circular, you don't see an Apple Circular. Sunday paper, you don't see an Apple Circular. You see Dell's in there. You see Circuit City. You see Best Buy. And
right.
Everybody's selling
HP's.
Windows-based machines.
Compacts.
Right.
Right. In magazines, you see a whole lot of PC ads in there. And usually the Apple ad is for the iPod.
Right.
So, I mean, they're not getting the their Apple computer products in the minds.
They're certainly not going to win any service awards either, since every Apple store around here for 900 miles has the shittiest service in the entire planet.
Oh, yeah, and if you want to buy an Apple, you have to go to Apple, or you go to one of these Apple Direct stores.
Right.
Yeah, Apple stores.
Or a place like DoubleClick. So,
which is shitty, yeah.
Yeah. But if they allowed the operating system to be licensed and Dell would put one out or HP, and you can go into Circuit City and there was an Apple machine sitting side by side.
Right.
Right. So we were talking about this last night, and we were saying, well, when people think of Apple, what do they think of? You know, what is Apple's big selling point? Well, the graphic arts people really love
desktop
it.
Desktop publishing.
Desktop publishing. Apple's known for having, you know, great hardware and an easy-to-use interface, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is, one of the things that brought up is if they took OS X and ported it to a generic Intel architecture, you know, would the quality of their operating system go downhill? Now, is it the hardware or the operating system?
I think it's the tight integration of the operating system with the hardware, because Apple only has certain hardware that they support. It's a small list. If they become, you know, an OEM vendor, when they just slap on the operating system onto any old beige box, they don't have control of the hardware that's in there.
Okay, they don't have control, but now let's turn this around. Apple's built off of a core of FreeBSD.
No.
It derives from FreeBSD.
No.
Yes, it does.
No. They keep saying that, but it's not. It's off the Mach microkernel.
Mach microkernel.
That's not
does,
FreeBSD, not even
it's
close.
It's built off of. I didn't say it was. It's built
it's
from.
Built free, off of Mach microkernel, which is what FreeBSD is also
built
around
on. Off of FreeBSD. So my question is, FreeBSD runs fantastic on this architecture already. Why wouldn't OS X?
Well, because it's not FreeBSD.
But it's
not built off of FreeBSD. It's built off of Mach microkernel.
Right, and that Mach microkernel works
and
very well.
Yeah, but that's it. That has nothing to do with BSD. That's, you know,
but
that's before BSD.
Well, but still.
And then
you
stick Darwin
on
top
of
that.
Of the Mach microkernel.
There's nothing to do with FreeBSD at all. Everybody keeps saying
free BSD
that. There's no FreeBSD
there
in OS X.
Yes, there
no.
is.
There's,
yes,
there's
there
the Mach
is.
Microkernel. There's Darwin. And then there's Apple's proprietary stuff. And that's
free
it.
FreeBSD.
No FreeBSD in there.
Yes, there is.
Nope.
What do you mean there's not?
There's no FreeBSD in there. It's the Mach microkernel. That's why they keep saying it's FreeBSD, because it's based on the Mach microkernel, which is also what FreeBSD is based on. But it's not FreeBSD. It's the Mach microkernel, Darwin, and Apple's own proprietary goodies.
But still, it's based off of BSD.
Right.
So, BSD is known for stability. And you run it on this architecture, and it runs very well. It runs a hell of a lot better than Windows. So,
sure, it would have to, right?
Why wouldn't you still have the stability that you have on the Apple hardware on generic Intel architecture?
Because you can't be as selective about the generic Intel architecture
but components. You can't be. You're right. You can't be. But we see that it runs with rock-solid stability on these systems.
Well, you see BSD running on it, right?
Right. So, I mean,
but that's a whole different ball of wax.
No. It's still, you know, it has a core of BSD and a mock kernel, and all that stuff is just the software layer floating on top of the hardware, just like X.
But it's not because BSD is originally ported for x86 architecture, and it was whittled into that. You know what I mean? Like, they worked real hard at getting it rock-solid stable for x86 hardware. Just like the Apple stuff has been worked at to get it rock-solid stable on the hardware they support, which is their own proprietary stuff and PPC. But the two are totally different things. Like, you'll notice that FreeBSD does not, like, run rock-solid on PPC. You can get it to run on it, but that's a relatively new port. It's not a rock solid port yet. Probably won't be for some. It probably will never be at this point in time. Just because, you know, Apple's ditching their PPC computers, and that's pretty much what everybody runs when they run PPC. So there are a lot of real specific differences, and that's one reason why it really would not run as stable on generic Intel hardware, because it wasn't ever written for it.
Don't they have their own API layer in there for the graphics, Apple?
Well, I'm sure they
Cocoa
do.
Cocoa or something like that? I'm not an Apple expert by any means. An Aqua.
Yeah. I believe it's Aqua.
That's Cocoa. They layer that stuff on top of Darwin.
So they probably got a lot of hooks going into the different, you know, graphics drivers and what have you.
No, I'm sure that that stuff is possible to be ported over. Well, I'm sure it has been ported over already, you know what I mean? But I don't think it's anywhere near as solid and as stable as on x86 as it is on PPC. Because PPC, they know the ins and outs of every piece of hardware that they have on there. But the hardware base is so much larger on x86 that they just can't possibly. Like, they could pick a handful of different pieces of hardware and really support those and support them well, and I think it would be, you know, a great thing. But as far as support for everything, they'd be fighting losing.
Would you buy one?
See, here's the thing, though. You go out and you buy a system from Dell and install Windows on there, right? Now, they're going to pretty much guarantee that Windows is going to run on there and make use of the hardware, okay, and use the hardware properly. It's going to work. All that components are going to work together. And it's going to be fairly stable until Windows runs for a
while.
You say
that, but it's not true.
Well, but I'm saying, I mean, so you take Linux, which is nowhere, you know, they don't have the same kind of support from the vendors, and you run Linux on the same hardware, and chances are it's going to run with better stability than Windows will on that same hardware, doing basically the same tasks. Okay? So, OS X, I'm saying, if they put it over to the similar system, they'd not only get a lot of stability that OS X has, and a lot of stability that exists with Darwin, the mock kernel, and the BSD derivative, but also, you know, with working with the vendors to make sure that said hardware works. Now, I'm not saying like a generic clone box. I'm saying working with the vendor like Dell and ensuring that hardware would work, they could put out a very stable system, far more stable than Windows, for probably the same price that the comparable laptop for Windows would be going for. And what I'm saying is then...
If they wanted to, right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and that's going to be like that for any operating system. You know, the more support you get from the vendor, the chipset, the makers of the hardware, the more stable you're going to be able to make your operating system.
Sure.
Now, then again, now you got the point here. Well, if we're on a level playing field, if OS X already has superior stability compared to Windows, why would that stability take a dump if they were licensing it out to, like, Dell or HP? I don't think that would actually happen.
Well, the hardware isn't as good. You know what I mean?
But they're already like moving to...
Right, right.
A, you know,
but that doesn't mean that,
but
it's
the hardware,
that the hardware is
good,
better.
Or...
No, the hardware isn't as good.
You don't think so?
No. I don't think that x86 hardware is,
but
is
they're
anywhere
already,
near as good as PPC,
I mean,
hardware.
But you look at the Apple systems now. It's not an Apple video card in there. You know, you're not getting the Apple. It's Broadcom. It's NVIDIA, ATI. All that stuff is already in there.
That's right. But
you've got a different chipset.
It's right.
Architecture.
They're ROMed specifically for Apple, and Apple gets the specific specifications. That's kind of redundant, isn't it? Apple gets the specifications for each piece of hardware that they're running in there. And, like, you'll notice that, you know, you can buy, like, video cards, right? PCI video cards or whatever. You're going to put in an Apple machine that are from BEX86 box somewhere off eBay, and you have to flash the ROM before they'll work in your Apple box. That's because they have to adhere to a specific set of instruction codes and things like that, and they have to be identified correctly.
But you can do Intel architecture side.
But that still does not change the base fact that the base architecture itself, x86, we're talking about the processor architecture, is not as good as PPC architecture. It's just not.
I guess we won't know until we actually see a box with this, you know, installed and what it's all about.
Well, I'm sure that even
but
if you saw a box, it would be
a
killer thing. You know,
on a generic Intel architecture right now.
Well, you did already. And Apple's demo thing, that was a...
No, that's not generic Intel.
Wasn't
that
they're releasing a developer
Intel
box
processor, but it's not Intel, you know, generic Intel x86 chipsets on there.
I thought that was just a regular P3 something.
It's
they went
Intel
out.
Processor. They didn't say.
Oh, they
it,
didn't say it was.
It
didn't
say
it was a
say
generic
it was
box.
Intel processor. It didn't say it would be all right. So, I mean, they're gonna have their proprietary hardware wrapped around this Intel processor. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't appear like much of anything is gonna change for Apple. You know, they changed from an Intel PowerPC to an Intel x86 processor. Doesn't mean the chipsets are going to be the same as what you buy and, you know, go out there and buy. It's going to be developed specifically for Apple.
Yeah, I'm sure. It'll
so
be.
They're still
it'll
tying
be
everything to their. I mean, Apple's a hardware company.
However, didn't they say that they're going to do the. They said that Windows will probably run on their boxes, right?
That's what they say.
So, like, if you can run Windows on an Apple box. x86 Apple box, why couldn't you run OS 10 on a Windows box?
I guess with the latest news came out, they're using a specific security chip on there that you have to have that chip to run OS 10.
Yeah. Well, they'll, you know, there's going to be a way around
that. Somebody will hack it.
There's going to be a way around that. Right now they're running, you know, OS 10 on Linux boxes under, what, a box or something like that. Is that what it's called? B-O-C-H-S?
Pair PC.
There you go. That's the one.
Slow as shit, though.
Yeah, but if they can do it.
Yeah, it's doable.
You know what I mean? If they can do it, they actually have to emulate a PPC architecture.
No, they don't have to do that anymore.
Now they don't have to do that because now they'll have a, you know,
it'll be just Wine except for Apple.
Yeah, exactly. There'll be some little emulation, some little tiny emulation later, and it'll be running. And, you know, it won't even take a week. That's my prediction. It comes out.
We'll see.
Comes out OS 10 under x86. It won't even take a week before people are running it in a window on their XP machine. It's a sick thing to think of, but I'm telling you.
Yeah, Nintendo says he's going to run the security chip keylogger.
Yeah.
Dude, you're getting a Dell.
Yeah.
Dude.
So, I mean, I don't know. I still stand by my belief that it's not going to go any further than it's already gone. It's not going to steal anything away from Windows. I don't think it's going to steal anything away from, you know, Linux.
I don't think it'll steal.
You don't think it'll be status quo?
I don't think it'll steal anything away from Linux. I think it has a potential to take some of Windows' market share over, depending on how it happens.
I wouldn't link on this.
I'm not going to say no. I'm saying there's a definite potential there for it to do something. Not the Linux, because, you know, the Linux people, when you're hooked on Linux, that's what you're hooked on. Just like Mac people. You know what I mean? You can't get them to switch anything either. Linux people use Linux because they like it. Windows people use Windows because they're stupid. So, you know, and if you show them something,
a lot of
better,
people don't have a choice though at this point.
Yes, they do.
No, if show them something. To go buy a new machine and it comes with Windows.
So that doesn't mean you have to run it. You know, if you're intelligent enough to use to learn how to use your computer, you can pick the operating system.
But they're not learning how to use their computer.
Not everybody wants to learn.
But you know, there's the
point. I said if you're intelligent enough
to learn how to use it. But if they invest all that time in learning to use Windows, they're not going to want to learn something else.
I said learn how to use their computer. I didn't say learn how to use Windows.
What are they going to learn to use their computer with?
On Windows.
Well, they can learn about.
They have a geek friend.
No, they can learn about
son or,
you know,
daughter or something.
Different things
or
about computers without
cousin.
Specifically learning Windows.
You know, most people go out, buy their computer, then they go to the
Best Buy.
Oh,
CompUSA.
Windows for Dummies, or here it comes with Windows. Here's a Windows for Dummies book.
Wow, it comes with Microsoft computer. Works.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You got to have them for Dummies books because that's what they are. Dummies.
That's not nice.
Yeah.
They could start from there and
Dummies.
Get an education. But not Dummies. The gifted teacher that says you don't want
to learn. Yeah, not the gifted teacher. I don't want to learn how to do this. No, I mean, you know, I don't. Nobody has an excuse anymore to run Windows as far as I'm concerned because, you know what, even my dad runs Linux.
But the majority of the people
my
out there have no freaking clue what the heck
no.
Linux is.
My dad.
I work with a bunch of programmers, man, and a lot of them don't even have ever tried Linux. I fight with them.
What do? They program Visual Basic, right?
But mixed bag. We got some mainframe people, some Unix people. It's a mixed bag. Some Windows people.
It's tough. It's a tough thing.
I'm constantly pushing, you know, NOPIX CDs on them.
So, therefore, I don't think that there's going to be any more likelihood of people switching to Apple OS X with the new Intel processors as there is for people switching over to Linux from Windows. I don't see it.
You never know.
I don't see it.
But the switching to Linux from Windows thing may change because, you know, Linux is evolving. And
I'm not saying Linux isn't evolving.
Might be the thing. I mean,
as much as I like to push and say Linux on the desktop, I don't think it's going to happen here any sooner, you know, anything time soon, but it will happen overseas a lot faster.
Sure.
I think the key is to get them on, you know, newly installed machines.
I think
kind of like what Linspire's doing.
I think
right.
having the switch happen overseas is going to push us to switch over here, too.
There's too
that
much.
Too.
There's too much of an install base, existing stubbornness not to want to change.
Yeah, too many suits.
I mean, I sit there and I think, you know, we are cutting back so much of the technology budget work. Why are we investing $20,000+ in office licenses when we can just as well serve out Open Office? And not only that, you know, we're constantly asked, hey, can I get a copy of Office to use at home so I can do my work? No.
No.
Well, here, take a copy of Open Office.
That's right. That's what I give them.
Students come in, end of the year, student projects. We have to scramble around trying to find compatible machines. People come in with Works documents, with WordPerfect documents. If everybody took Open Office, man,
that'd be the end of it.
No problem.
It'd be XML and it'd be compatible.
Right.
Well, you should do that then,
it'd
man.
It'd be smooth. But you know,
hand it to them. Tell them.
People don't want to. Like, oh, but we have
take
to teach the
home.
Curriculum, and the curriculum says Microsoft Office.
We have to do PowerPoint presentations.
Those things.
Same thing.
That's brutal, right?
Same thing. You know, because and everybody says that too. Well, you have to have, and it's got to be 100% Microsoft Office compatible. Bullshit.
I agree. Bullshit.
You know, bullshit. Yeah. Most people get on Microsoft Office, and what do? They hook Microsoft Office so that they type their email in it.
It opens up.
I've seen that, right? Have you seen that? People open up Outlook Express to type up their email, and it opens up Microsoft Office. I've actually seen that. They open up an entire document writing office program to type an email. So they use it for email. You don't need to use it for
email. Well, you have that nice feature that says you can, what is it? Instead of saving the document, you can email it to somebody.
Yeah, right.
Right inside of
the kids.
Handy.
But no, what is the general populace, like even in business, right? What's the majority of the things that they actually use Office for? They use it for very, very basic spreadsheets. And by very basic, I mean like
memos.
You're lucky if they have a formula in them kind of spreadsheets, right? Like maybe they do a calc down one column or something, a sum down a column. So you get spreadsheets like that, or you get Word, better yet, you get Word docs with a spreadsheet inside them. Embedded spreadsheets to have no calculations, right?
Come on, Link. You could put VBScript. It's all compatible.
And
it works so nicely.
They don't use the stuff. There's no sense of having all of that stuff when you don't use it.
It's a virus waiting to be written.
No, it's already been written, man. All you got to do is just open your email. You'll get it.
I'll say, man, the more I use OpenOffice, especially 2.
2 is nice, man.
It's so nice.
It loads up fast, too. People complain about OpenOffice, how slow it is.
It's coming a long way, too, on OS 10.
2 is quicker. It's much quicker.
You know what? You know what I have tried just recently again that actually is looking a lot better? Have you used Sciag Office?
No, I haven't even looked at
that. I haven't used that in like years, man. And it really is.
Never heard of it.
It's getting better. A long time ago, I used it because it's a really, really thin like office suite. This is before OpenOffice even came out, I think. And it's called Sciag. S-I-A-G. And like they have a Word document writer called the Pathetic Writer in there. It's pretty cool. You got to check it out. But no, it's got a whole office suite that, you know, they have the... I think there's a presentation thing. There's a, you know, Word document writer. There's a spreadsheet and yada, yada, yada. But I haven't seen it in a long time, and I just pulled it off the other day and looked at it again, and it really is getting good. So, if you guys are looking for a really, really, really thin office suite, check that out.
Hey, have you guys noticed the...
K-Office? No.
K-Office?
K-Office.
No.
You guys notice a lot of the Linux podcasts, they haven't come out with any episodes in a while. Especially, like, the Linux Box. Sean has...
I noticed that, too.
Lug Radio was out last week.
Who?
Lug Radio.
I'm not talking about Lug Radio. I'm talking about, like, the Linux Box.
Lug Radio.
So what you're saying is Lug Radio is not a Linux show. You heard it. You heard him say it.
I'm not talking about that.
He's bashing the Brits over there.
Linux Box, Linux Questions. They haven't come out with new episodes in a while.
I haven't heard of Linux Box in a while. Linux Questions, you're right.
Yeah, the last one he came out with was like in April.
Not everybody can be like us,
But Linux Log come up with that content
every week. He was talking about rolling. He also does Microsoft Log and Apple Log, and he was talking about combining them into one.
Right, and I hope he doesn't.
I'll stop listening. I sent them an email. I said, you know, I'll stop listening if that's what he does.
Yeah. Because we don't want none of that.
I don't care about Microsoft.
Stuff.
Or even Apple.
No, I don't want it. I mean, I'm sure it's more of a hassle for him. Didn't he start the Linux Log first? Wasn't that the first one?
I think so.
You know, if he's going to continue one, like, do that one, because that's what we're going to listen to. We don't want it. You know, we don't want no stinking Microsoft.
Yeah, but
look at how many other Microsoft podcast things are around.
Besides us, you know, us and Lug Radio, there's a serious lack of production from these podcasts, man. Come on, guys. Get with the program.
Get in the stick, man. Let's go.
BaseNet Radio does a lot of Linux stuff.
I've never listened to that.
Who the hell is that?
BaseNet. They're on DDP, Hack Radio.
Oh.
BaseNet. They do a Linux distro of the week. And seriously, they do an excellent job.
Link up.
No, I was planning on doing that. So BaseNet Radio does a really good job.
I did not know.
They review lesbian Linux and
lesbian Linux.
I mean, you learn some of the off the wall distros out there. Helix. There's a bunch of others. I forget what they are, but it's a good show.
Lesbian.
Didn't Lacoris get bought today by Bendriva?
I thought a part of Lacoris got bought by something. I don't know, but I guess what one of the biggest news is who is it? Microsoft hired or snatched?
Oh, Daniel Robbins.
Daniel Robbins of from Gentoo.
Yeah, he hasn't had anything to do with the project in a couple of years. It's been at least a year. He has nothing to do with with Gentoo.
From the Gentoo.
Yep.
He kind of divested himself from that a while ago.
Right. But I guess they were making a stink of him trying to license or trademark some of the artwork he did for Gentoo or something like that.
I don't know the details.
Oh, yeah?
It was in Slashdot, and I apologize. I've been so focused on my presentation for a while.
I met him.
Night.
Did you guys ever meet him? I met him at the Lug Expo, the Linux World Expo, going back like 3 years ago.
No.
I went over to him and I started talking to him.
I couldn't tell you who I met last week, let alone, you know, 3 years ago. So,
supposedly he was in depth quite a bit.
I did shake John Mad Dog Hall's hand, though.
What exactly does he do?
John Mad Dog.
What's that?
We talked to him.
Yeah.
What does he do?
We're supposed to, like, interview him on the show sometime.
What does he do? He advocates.
Yeah.
That's it?
He's
pretty
a...
It's like one of these guys like Stallman, just go traveling around.
No, he's not like Stallman. He's got like cool things to say.
He's a nice guy.
He's a little more laid back.
He's a really cool guy. I really like to get him on a show sometime and just see what he is saying. See what kind of stuff he's working on.
You know, speaking of Slashdot, I found this out the hard way. Apparently, they limit how many times you can hit their RSS feed.
Like, yes.
If you hit it more than...
Once an hour.
In a 30-minute period.
Is it really?
It's a 30-minute
period. I thought it was once an hour.
Because what I did is I had... You know when I was testing out all those RSS aggregators?
Yeah.
I left one of them going on my my Firefox. I was testing the one through Firefox, and I had the one in Thunderbird.
Whacked it about 50 times, and you started getting nasty grams.
Yeah, the one from Thunderbird was hitting it every 10 minutes. The other one was hitting it every 10 minutes. All of a sudden, like over the weekend, it just stopped working. I'm like, what the hell? I'm trying to figure out everything. And I didn't see anything, but when I went over
A link, right, or something.
I went over to the RSS reader in Firefox, and it had all these links there. It said, you know, so I had to shut off the feed checking for like 3 days before it would pick up again. So I didn't know that. Did they have that anywhere listed on the front of their page, or is it just...
I don't know, but I did that when I first... When I wrote my first... I wrote this stupid little aggregator program. I don't even know if you remember it, Dan. Long, long time ago on my website, I used to aggregate Slashdots, get the feeds from Slashdot and Fresh Meat and stuff like that. And that stupid little aggregator, when I wrote that and tested it, I did that. I whacked them like 3 times in 1 hour, and they sent me this little link. You click on the link, and it's just like, you're bad or something like that. It says you're not supposed to hit the page more than once an hour, blah, 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 blah. It took me like a day to get it back.
Yeah, screw them.
Well, I mean, I can understand, you know, with how popular that site is. Jeez, if everybody hit your site like, you know, 50 times an hour or something like that, that would just suck.
Upgrade your hardware.
Suck it all up. You need to be gone.
Well, I'm pissed at them because they never post our links. The other sites do.
Well, we didn't say they weren't some
bitches. Elixir, they always put us on there. PC Linux Online, they always put us on there. Linux Today, they put us on there.
Yeah.
OS News has even put us on there.
Maybe it's good
you know where else you can
there.
Find our stuff? Like, if you go to that site, right, the LinuxLink.tech/TLLTS-something-blog, right?
LinuxLink.net/...
They all have our stuff on there. All the time. I've seen it. If you sign up for that blog, boy, you get it. And they tell you.
The problem with them is they don't always post.
I don't know what the hell we were talking about this week.
We still don't know what the hell we're talking about this week. We got 3 minutes left in the show.
Yeah,
right?
Speaking of that, we probably should talk about what we're talking about next week.
Yeah, what's
I'm
going on?
I'm not
going
to be here.
What's going on?
And you guys didn't... nobody contacted me about testing. And I'm leaving Friday night.
I don't know. There may or may not be a show next week. For those of you who are interested,
what I'll do is I'll leave the stream down.
Okay.
And if you want to try connecting to it,
I'm game for it, man.
You have to give us directions, and we'll try it. Maybe
we should
do
it
tomorrow night or something.
I'm game to do a show.
Yeah, there may or may not be a show next week. We're going to try. Okay. If it doesn't happen, hey, we'll probably show up on IRC at any rate. But we're going to try because Dan's on vacation. So, and you know, I really don't want to be... Last thing I want to... I know Dan will let us in his house, but the last thing I want to do is run in the house here and have the cops come and bust us because we're in somebody's house we're not supposed to be in.
That's right. Go down, Link.
You going anywhere, Dan?
Going down.
South Carolina.
Going down. Are you going to go visit...
No, I'm going to be out the opposite end of the state. Opposite end of the state is here.
Oh, excuse me.
That
reminds me,
man.
I had garlic and white pizza with broccoli, garlic and
was
garlic
it good?
Broccoli. It was awesome. But I bet you tomorrow, man. You know, the other programmer works in the office with me. It's going to be paid for that sucker. I'll tell you.
You're going to be farting in the cushions.
His name is Ken, and just call him, you know, Asthma Attacker. call him a doctor because he's going to need it.
And also the Weyerbacher Brewery tour got postponed as well.
Yeah, because we couldn't get it together.
I don't think anybody was going to show up besides us.
Yeah, well, you can't get anybody from the lug to listen
to I know. What is the deal, man? Well, last year I had a barbecue at my house, and, you know, nobody showed up. Nobody wants to come over and drink free beer and eat free food, I guess.
I showed up.
You showed up.
I was sick, too.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah.
And Link showed up.
Lame, you were, like, warmed over death, man. And Alan was there dressed in his V suit.
That's right. The visitors. The mothership was hovering.
Do we have a picture of that somewhere?
Yeah, we do have a picture. Oh, I have it. Let me see if I can find it so we can post it real quick.
A lot of people like that Straight out of Compton.
It's funny. Nita Gordon.
Yeah, that was really good. What are you looking for? A picture of
Alan? A picture of Alan in his V-suit.
Yeah, my picture of Alan in his V-suit.
That was funny.
It's got to be in here somewhere,
it's in
right?
there.
Woo! Oh, man. DDP hack read.
Alan was confused. He thought it was a V-convention.
Yeah, he thought it was some Nimlet Space Convention things. You know how Alan is. He does that kind of stuff every now and then. But,
we want to do a tech show TV. I thought about that.
Stream it live? We could.
I don't know about
it
streaming it live.
Pre-record it.
There would go all our bandwidth, like one person.
No, no live stream, but we should do one because it'd be really funny.
This was like what?
I can't find it, man.
This was like, what was it, August of last year, September of last year?
Picnic 2004, maybe that's it. That's there it is! There it
put
is.
Put the link up, man. That's
all
funny
right, put
shit.
The ink, I'll put the link up. And, like, you know, we were all there hanging out at this picnic. Of course, like they said, nobody showed up, right? We're all hanging out there, and, like, we hear this really weird buzzing sound. And here comes Alan just landing out of the middle of the air. Jumps out in his V suit.
Hey, you guys could do a Conan show when I'm not here.
No Conan.
Dun, 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 dun,
all right,
dun,
and there's dun, the link for dun, 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 Alan and his V-suit.
You could have tiny URL that, you bastard.
Give me a tiny URL break here.
That's a chore to type that in.
Well, yeah, I have to type it. You just click on
just
it.
Just click on the link, man.
Duh.
Yeah, but...
Stupid duh.
Tiny
that's my
URL.
Says. Stupid
read
duh.
Read that link over the web.
link.homeunix.org/8080/images/computer/lug/picnic_2004 and you can find it from there. It's not that hard. Lug is capitalized. Everything else isn't. There you go. And we are at two. We got 2 minutes over. Daniel.
Or you can go to tinyurl.com/ALDPV.
Yeah.
And there you go. You get the same thing. Mm-hmm. No, we're not over yet. Mm-hmm. We are just about the money. We got to shut off the bin rev.
All right, bin rev is going. Listen, everybody, we really appreciate you stopping out to listen to us again. Please stop by and listen to us next week when Dan will be out. However, we're going to do our best to put a show on for you anyway. Just be Pat and Alan and I. That is if Pat and Alan show up.
I'll show up.
We'll do what we can. Join us next week. Same tech show time, same tech show channel for episode 89.
Ooh. 100's coming.
100's coming. Much beer will be had. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. What's that fish smell? You smell that?
Close your legs, Pat.
Dan, you cooking bacalao again?
says goodnight to you, but ignores Pat and me.
Where's Yeoman, huh?
Because I'm the cool guy. They know that.